Hubbard, discernment, wisdom. Now a very interesting gift, as far as I'm concerned, the word of knowledge. What is the charismatic gift of the word of knowledge? Well, it is a charismatic gift from the Lord because there's counterfeits. There's natural knowledge. Some very, very sensitive people have a way of seemingly of tuning into some things that are happening in the world around them. And then there's the preternatural gift that comes from the demons. I think sometimes this information that's given by fortune tellers and spiritists, it comes from the evil one. But we want to focus on the Lord's gift to us, the Holy Spirit, and how He moves through us. Knowledge is a charismatic gift that is from the Spirit, by which we intuitively know a word or a fact that is helpful for building the body of Christ in some way. And the clearest example, I think, for my mind, is when I stand up in front of you, I listen to the Lord in the healing service and hear a word such as feet. Remember this morning, I think we started off with that. I heard the word feet. I said, the Lord is healing somebody in the feet. Who is that person? And at healing services, that's what I do. I stand up and I get a word from the Lord, and it comes pretty much the same way prophecy does. You know how prophecy comes like a vague word, you're not quite sure? Well, the same with word of knowledge. And the Spirit just, in a sense, whispers that in your ear. So it's that word that I hear in my mind. Now, some people see the word in vision, say, at a healing service. Some people get a word of knowledge which is a pain. They'll get a pain in the shoulder saying, I got a pain in the shoulder. Someone needs healing in the left shoulder, or someone is being healed. And when their pain stops, they say, oh, someone has been healed in the left shoulder. So that it can come in various ways in regards to a healing service. But it is a word from the Lord by which you know a fact. Now, this is important because 90% of the human mind is below the level of consciousness. 90% of what's going on in us, we're not even aware of. So, when it comes to the healing ministry, and this is very important in the healing ministry, we call it a gift of diagnosis. Because all medicine is divided into diagnosis and therapy. The healing ministry is divided into diagnosis and therapy. And what's the diagnosis? What's the cause of this problem? Well, let's first move into some general uses of the word of knowledge. And I'm using my book, Word of Knowledge, which has a lot to do with word of knowledge and inner healing. Now, forgiveness and inner healing, there's a lot in this book interwoven between word of knowledge, inner healing, and forgiveness. So I do recommend it, especially for those of you who do inner healing. On page 64, here are some of the facts that the Lord will reveal sometimes through word of knowledge. A scripture. How many of you have been at a meeting, praying, and you get a chapter and verse like Matthew 4:4? How many have had that experience? That's a word of knowledge. Huh? The Lord gives you the chapter and verse of a certain book. It just, that's all you get, is Matthew 4:4. It's the same like in a healing service, feet. It's a word, one word. Wisdom, on the other hand, is a leading. I should go over and pray with Lucetta. I feel that drawing. And if you ask me, what are you doing? I am going to pray for Lucetta because I feel the drawing towards her. That's a sentence. But word of knowledge is merely a word. Prophecy is a complete sentence coming directly from the Lord. My children, I am blessing you tonight. Something like that. Remember, earlier someone said, what's the difference between word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and prophecy? Well, they're all different. But we want to work now with word of knowledge, which is a word. So you'll sometimes get a chapter and verse. Also, those in the music ministry, how many are in the music ministry? You listen for to the Lord, and He will give you a sense of what the next song is that you're going to sing. And that's why I'm a little leery of people who have 20 songs that they're going to sing at a prayer meeting. Just listen. You can do that, But listen to the Lord. What is he calling you to pray, to sing? Very, very important. Moving in the Holy Spirit. Nextly, a theme. Say you're giving a talk and you say, Lord, what should I talk at the prayer meeting? Now, my week to give a teaching. And you listen to the Lord, and he'll give you a theme. It might be fasting. You say, oh, Lord, no, I don't want to talk about it. No. And it stays with you. That word stays with you. And say, all right, Lord. And you do the research, and you think a lot about fasting, and you give your little teaching, and people say, boy, that's just what we needed. And you're rather surprised. The Lord knew what they needed, and that's why he gave you the word. How many have had that experience? Put up your hand. Okay, there's about 7 or 8 of you. Okay. When you are working with certain people, sometimes you'll get a sense of ministries. You'll be around someone and say, like Brian, I'll get a sense, Brian, the Lord, I get a sense of ministry with men. Ministry with men. This is what I'm hearing in my mind. Have you ever felt this drawing to work with men, to share the Lord with them, to pray with them? Now let me ask you, have you? Yes, huh? Friday morning, you have a Friday morning's men's group. There you are. As I just looked around, I felt that was a word for you. Even see how beautiful the Spirit is, even when you're just demonstrating these things. He's moving. The Lord Spirit is always moving in your life more than you realize. A lot of times, I'll do a demonstration. I'll say, now this is how you lay hands. You don't lay hands on top of people's heads because women have hairdos and that drives them crazy. And secondly, when you have a person by the head, they've really lost control. You're in control, and that makes some people very insecure. The proper way is to lay hands on the shoulders or hold their hand. Sometimes I'll demonstrate that, and the person will be healed. Just in pure demonstration, the Spirit is always moving, huh? Always moving. It's so beautiful. Another way that the Spirit moves is to reveal healings, and we've mentioned that. Right now, I hear the word backs. I know someone's being healed in the lower back. Who is that person that's had lower back pain? And since you've been in here tonight, all pain is gone. Who is that person? How long have you had that? Lower back pain. About a week. You feel the heat in there right across the lower back? I can sense it from up here. I can sense a line of heat right across the lower back. There you are. I just heard the word, and the Lord reveals the healings. Sometimes you need to select leaders, and you say, Lord, who should we have for our pastoral team? And you pray, and you get the names of 3 people. And I've seen situations where maybe 5 or 7 of people will go off for a day and they'll pray and they'll come back with 3 names and all 7 of them have the same 3 names. Any of you ever experienced that? Yes, 1, 2. Yes, the Lord gives the names of people he wants to lead. And that's really the way to have leadership is to ask the Lord for a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Sometimes you will say, Lord, what scripture should we read at Mass tonight, healing service tonight, or Mass? And you get a sense of John 4:7, and then for the Old Testament, Ecclesiasticus 28. Have any of you had that? Really asking the Lord, and you get a sense of it, very vague in your mind, and it's right, you go and say, I couldn't have done any better if I worked for a week in this. Sometimes there's areas of blockage. Someone says, I'm just not clicking. There's something wrong with me. And you pray, and Lord, what's going on here? What's the block in this person's life right now? Why are they down? What's the root cause? And the Lord sometimes will give you the root cause. Anger at his wife. There's blockage there. The Spirit can't move. He's angry at his wife. Now, one thing that the Lord has been very generous with me is when I pray with people, especially in front of a whole congregation, I'll bring them up to pray over them because they come up on canes and crutches. I'll say, Lord, what's the root cause? And most of the time, the Lord will show me who they need to forgive. That's why I'm so strong on forgiveness, is because I said, Lord, what's the problem here? forgiveness. They need to forgive themselves, need to forgive the parish priest, or they need to forgive their mother-in-law. That the Lord will give you the blockage, or someone comes with arthritis and say, Father, pray for me, I have arthritis. And you ask, what's the root cause, the degenerative cause of this arthritis, Lord? Death of a husband. Ah, has your husband died? Yes. Have you given him to the Lord? Oh, yes. Why didn't you forgive him for dying? Oh, I don't have to. He was a beautiful man, and so forth and so on. But the Lord will give you that spiritual x-ray, you see, because remember what we said, that 90% of the mind is subconscious. Our ailments come from the subconscious to the conscious level. We can't really see into the subconscious level. And so we ask the Lord, and he goes right down and x-rays the subconscious and tells you what the root cause is. We see this even in intergenerational healing. That you're praying with someone, say, ooh, I think this is intergenerational. This is inherited, this disposition towards cancer, for example. This is inherited. I'm getting a sense of intergenerational cause. And so you work through into intergenerational healing and ask the Lord to heal that situation. Sometimes you need just a simple fact. Lord, where did I leave my car keys? Where are my car keys? Lord, I ask you to, where are my car keys? Huh? And you get a sense, stove. No, I didn't leave them over in the stove. And sure enough, there they are on the stove. Any of you had that situation? How many have had that experience? Yeah, many. Also, when you're praying with someone comes for inner healing and says, Lord, I want, Father, I need some inner healing. Say, Lord, where do we go? Where do we start? And the Lord may say, age 9. You get a sense of age 9. Let's go into age 9. And then you begin to pray into age 9, and you ask the person what's coming to their mind. Or what are you getting? What do you sense? Age 9, father relationship. What happened to you in the ninth year? Oh, my father went in the army and left home. See, the beautiful way in which the Lord will lead you. All right, so we've talked already about deliverance. Again, that book is Word of Knowledge, a Charismatic Gift, published by Living Flame Press. We talked about deliverance. When you are dealing in the prayer room with someone and you discern there is a spirit here, you ask the Lord, Lord, what type of spirit are we dealing with? And sometimes you get a sense, fear. Ah, we get a spirit of fear. And so you work on the spirit of fear. We use Word of Knowledge especially in the healing ministry. We use it in other ways. For example, if you have someone to work, you need someone to work in a job, you say, Lord, who shall I get for this job? And the Lord may give you the word like Paul Crawford. Paul Crawford, no, he wouldn't want to do this. And the word keeps coming back and say, Paul, would you like to set up chairs at a prayer meeting? And oftentimes, boy, I was just hoping you'd ask me. Have any of you had that experience praying for someone to do a ministry or a job, and you come up with a name you think very unlikely, and that's just the one who wants to do it? Sure, I've had that experience. All right, so these very briefly are some of the situations in which you use the Word of Knowledge. I know that I had a case once that was very striking for me. It was a woman who had asthma, and she asked me to pray for her asthma. And I got the word grandfather, and I believe I also got a second word, age 3. And I said, I'm getting the word grandfather. At age 3, what does that mean to you? She said, nothing. So I prayed with her, and she went home and called her mother. And she said, you know, the mother said, you know, you loved your grandfather very much. He lived with us for a while, but then I couldn't take care of him. We put him in a home, and he died in his home. And when you were 3, we took you to the wake, but they had cut all his hair, and you didn't recognize him as your grandfather, and you were so very upset. I remember another time a woman came to me. She had a serious illness about age 65. And I prayed over her and I said, Lord, what's the root cause? And I got the word hook, H-O-O-K. Hook. Gee, I don't know what that means. So I said to her, ma'am, what does the word hook mean to you? H-O-O-K. So it doesn't mean anything. Remember now, that's going right into the subconscious mind. Huh? Like this last case, it was age 3. This is age 5. And after a while, she said, wait a minute. When I was young, about 5 years of age, I remember my father taking me to the French market here in New Orleans. And we would buy vegetables and fish. And I remember that they used to sell big sea turtles. And every time they'd sell a sea turtle, they'd take a hook, reach in, pull out his head, and chop it off. Now, here's a 5-year-old girl seeing sea turtles decapitated. That does something. Remember the principle we spoke, the younger the child, the more traumatic the experience. And that's a traumatic experience for anyone. Huh? And so what I did was then pray into the healing at age 5. So you can see the beautiful value of using word of knowledge for painful memories. And what I would propose to do in a few moments in the next session is have a workshop by which we're going to ask the Lord to give us a painful memory in the person sitting next to us that he wants to heal. And that's beautiful. That is really beautiful, because the Lord will give you a word, and sometimes it's a very unusual word, and that word will be a symbol of a painful memory that that person has experienced. And the Lord is surfacing that so that that person can be healed and set free. So, word of knowledge is especially useful as spiritual diagnosis in the healing ministry. Just for a few moments now, let's talk about how do we increase the gift of word of knowledge and other gifts. I haven't really said much about how do we increase them. We're learning about them this week. What do we do to really grow? First of all, be open and realize the Lord wants to use you and will use you, that you have the gifts, and the more you yield them to them, the more you use them, the more they will grow. They grow like muscles. You know, the more you put stress on muscles, the more the muscles grow. Nextly, read as much as you can. Listen to tapes on these gifts so that you get to a good intellectual understanding of them. Then you won't be afraid of them. I know that people who work with me, especially when I go to a foreign country, somebody will be assigned to me to drive me around for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. And invariably, they're going to come into a strong healing ministry because they're around me all the time and they see the healing. And after 2 or 3 weeks, they really open up to it. And everybody that has worked with me, interpreters, drivers, they come into a healing ministry. They see so much, they get used to it, they open up to it, and then the Lord moves through them. Ask for an increase in the gifts. I try to pray daily, Lord, increase the gifts within me. Increase your gifts within me. And as you understand, as you ask, as you use them, you will find that the gifts will become an ordinary part of your life. All right, now let's take a few questions on word of knowledge. And then next session, we'll do our workshop. Any questions on word of knowledge? Just come up and ask them here, if you will, so that we can get all this on tape. Just come right up. Just line up all those who have a question, all those 20 people who have questions. Just line up right here. And just, Mary?
The last two workshops or two talks that you've given, you've mentioned the term preternatural. That confuses me because when I was in school, which was quite a ways back, we were taught that Adam and Eve, before the fall, had the preternatural gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
You referred to the preternatural as coming from the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused.
Yeah. Yeah, and you caught me off guard, to be honest with you. A lot of this terminology changes from person to person, but you're right, I do remember the preternatural gifts. Praetor means beyond natural, huh? Mm-hmm. Praetor in Latin, beyond. So that they had the gifts so that were beyond the natural gifts because they were living in a land and a situation uncontaminated by original sin. But the devil also has gifts that surpass the natural gifts of you and me, huh? Because he's an angel, he has the gifts of an angel, huh? Which is a much stronger knowledge, power, understanding. So it's beyond the natural. Okay, so it could be preternatural positive gifts of Adam and Eve, preternatural negative gifts of the Spirit. Just come line up right here. So it's good because I need to flesh out a lot of this teaching, and questions is a good way to do it.
Thank you, Father. You talked a while ago about the word of knowledge that could come in the sense of some pain. How can you tell the difference between that sense being a word of knowledge or an ordinary pain that you'd feel?
Well, it seems to me, and I'm only guessing because I don't have this gift, that when you're in a healing service, it will come at an opportune time when you say you're up in front of a community doing a healing service. All of a sudden, you get a pain in your right ear, your left ear. Huh? All right, well, you say, that just came. That must be the Lord giving me word of knowledge. But if you came in with a pain in your right ear that you've had for 3 days, well, you know that's yours and not somebody else's. It comes and it goes. It's transient. Is that right? Those people who experience the gift are sitting right here. They're saying yes.
Little P.S.
All right.
Well, I asked the question because when we were doing the workshop while ago, straightening the legs, and
yes.
I just suddenly felt a strong pain here. And when you said that, I wasn't sure what that was trying to say to me.
Did the pain go away?
It did.
How long did it stay with you?
A little flash like that, and then it went away.
Okay. See, sometimes when you're being healed, you can feel pain. Say you were praying on someone else, and the Lord just maybe did something inside you to heal you, and you felt a little pain. So sometimes when you're praying over people for the healing of legs, for example, arm and leg adjustment we did today, the person can feel pain, say, ooh, I feel pain, because things are moving back into place, and not always. Sometimes, though, there's a little pain in there, but it just goes right away. So we know that that's part of the process of healing.
One question I have is that this is the first experience that I have experienced of speaking in tongues. And I know that you stated that 15 minutes of speaking in tongues and prayer. And for me, God is working at giving me, even my Bible study, gifts of the mind. They're coming, and I've left myself very much open. So I'm kind of in a quandary how to ask this question, that there's a lot of pain. I'm sitting, and I'm feeling these sharp pains in my heart just sitting here. And there's a lot of things of needs in my life for forgiveness. And yet, God, the Holy Spirit just keeps giving me these gifts. They just kind of keep overflowing. So I guess maybe an understanding, or there's a confusion, or...
Okay, could you put that in a question form?
I guess that to follow form, sometimes I'm wondering if it's just focusing on God and resting in Him and prayer and communication is enough to just allow God to be giving those gifts even without, at this point, having the tongues. There's a lot of prayer, but the tongue seems to be an important part.
It is, because it is the prayer of the Spirit sensitizing us to His action, and especially in the other charismatic gifts that we've mentioned, the 9 basic gifts, and there are other charismatic gifts. For example, celibacy is considered a charismatic gift, an extraordinary charismatic gift. Martyrdom is a charismatic gift. Then we have motivational gifts, such as we have mercy, almsgiving, organization. There's a special power in the Spirit praying in you. It's something like liturgy. You know, when you go to Mass, you don't go to Mass primarily to pray. You go to Mass primarily to offer yourself in union with the sacrifice, life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that at Mass, it's not the prayer of the priest. It's not a private prayer. It's the public prayer of the church. It's what we call liturgical prayer. This is Jesus praying in the church. So there's a special power in liturgical prayer because it's Jesus praying through the church and we join ourselves to him. In a sense, there's a special power when the Holy Spirit prays in us. And one of the ways I know that is because people have said before they prayed in tongues, when they prayed for healing, they had very little healing. After they prayed in tongues and prayed for healing, they had a tremendous amount of healing. Huh? So that we see by its fruits, that the prayer of the Spirit is especially powerful. As the liturgy is the prayer of Jesus, then praying in tongues is the prayer of the Holy Spirit in union with us, and a very special power. And I'm not denying there can be many other gifts. Huh? Remember when you were confirmed? Counsel, wisdom, knowledge, piety, fortitude, fear of the Lord. Those are personal gifts of the Spirit for you. Charismatic gifts are for reaching out, extending Jesus' ministry to the body of Christ. On a very practical level, how to pray for people by asking the Lord to give to us a symbol of a painful memory that needs to be healed. But first, let's get into the scripture of John 4. Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. In verse 15 of John 4, she says, "Sir, give me that water that I will never be thirsty again, that I've come here to draw." And of course we know that that's the water of John 7:37, the living water. And Jesus says, "Go and call your husband and come back." "I don't have a husband," she answered. And Jesus replied, "You're right when you say you don't have a husband. You've been married to 5 men. The man you live with now is not really your husband. You've told me the truth." How did Jesus know that she had been married 5 times? Word of knowledge. Same Holy Spirit moving in us giving the knowledge as the Holy Spirit moving in Jesus. Acts 5. Ananias and Sapphira. There was a man named Ananias who had a wife, Sapphira, who sold some property that belonged to them. But with the wife's agreement, he kept part of the money for himself and turned the rest over to the apostles. And Peter said to him, "Ananias, why did you let Satan take control of you and make you lie to the Holy Spirit by keeping part of the money you received for the property? Before you sold the property, it belonged to you. And after you sold it, the money was yours. Why then did you decide to do such a thing? You have not lied to men. You have lied to God." As soon as Ananias heard this, he fell down dead, and all who heard about it were terrified. And I don't blame him. I mean, that's something. Lie to Peter, and you fall dead. That's heavy scene. Again, how did Peter know? I believe through the word of knowledge. The Spirit just informed him, just as he teaches us, that this was a lie, that they were cheating. All right, so now what we want to do is get into some inner healing. And this is good practical application of what we've been studying. We really want to focus on the painful memory that the Lord wants healed today. And one of the great values about working in inner healing is you're not doing too much too soon. For example, some psychiatrists say that hypnosis is not really good when you're dealing with people's painful memories, because hypnosis, you can go down into the subconscious and take up an area of their life where the person is not ready to have that exposed and healed. In other words, doing too much too soon. But when you're working with the Spirit leads you to that memory that is now ready to be healed. And that's a beautiful thing. You're working in harmony with the Holy Spirit. Now, psychoanalysis is a process of working around having people confess their sins to you and share those painful, traumatic experiences from their life, if you're a psychiatrist or a psychologist, so that you can surface it and try to work through it, talk about it, in some way get them to accept the situation and hopefully to forgive. Whereas through word of knowledge, the Lord leads us directly into the subconscious mind, directly into a painful memory, and the Lord is saying, yes, this is the symbol of something in this person that needs to be healed, and I want to heal it, and I will heal it. So what we're going to do later is that we will put our hand on the person's shoulder to your right, later, and we'll close our eyes and pray in tongues. And the value of tongues is it sensitizes us, makes us more sensitive to really hear the Lord in this delicate area of word of knowledge, of a painful memory. After we prayed in tongues to sensitize ourselves and kind of keep our minds clear, I'll clap my hands. And at that point, you just try to keep your mind totally clear. And what will happen, some of you will hear a word in your mind, or you'll see an image. You accept whatever comes to you because of the basic teaching that by the baptism in the Spirit, your spirit is possessed by the Holy Spirit to some degree. The nine basic gifts of the Spirit are active within you, and we want to make them operative, and we help you to yield to them so that they can become operative. And the word of knowledge is there, and as you reach out to the right, you will hear a word or see a picture. Almost everybody gets this because we've worked now through areas of sensitivity, baptism in the Spirit, tongues, prophecy, healing, miracles, discernment, wisdom, word of knowledge. At this point, since we've gone through these steps, we're much more sensitive so that everybody, almost everybody, should get a word of knowledge. It will be a word or a picture that will be a symbol of a painful area in the person's life. Let me give you some examples of word of knowledge. One of the first workshops I ever did was with a friend of mine who's a lawyer. And when he put his hand out to the right, he got the word refrigerator. And he said to the man, "What does refrigerator mean to you?" And he's saying to himself, "This is crazy. Now, this is crazy, ridiculous." But he was obedient. And he said to the man, "What does the word refrigerator mean to you?" And the man said, "All my life, I've wanted my own business. When I retired, I took my life savings. I invested in a refrigeration business and went bankrupt, and I cannot stand the sight of a refrigerator." There's your hook right into the memory of going bankrupt, losing your life's savings. Very traumatic. The word you get will be negative, even if it's the word love or joy or happiness. It is a symbol of a painful memory. Do not get sidetracked and say, "Oh, that must be something nice. He has a lot of joy in his life." No, this is a symbol of a negative, painful memory. So I remember one time there was a priest in Latin America, and the person next to him got, I think it was a vision of him kneeling before the statue of the Blessed Mother. And he says, "Oh, he must have a wonderful devotion to the Blessed Mother." And I said, "No, the word you got was traumatic." And then we asked the priest, and he had quite an interesting story. He went into the seminary when he was 21. And every time he'd go into the seminary, he'd go for a while, he'd get sick, and they'd have to come out. He was 52 years old, and he had left the seminary 9 times. At 52 years old, after the 9th time, he was so depressed, he went to see his bishop. And the bishop said, here is a prayer to Our Lady of Lourdes. Her statue is in the backyard. Go and pray that prayer to her." So he went depressed and knelt before the statue of Our Lady of Lourdes. Now there's the connection, the heaviness, the depression of failing 9 times. And the beauty of the story was he went back, he was ordained, and I believe he was 70, 74 at that age, and he was founding his own religious community. So here was a case where the person was tempted to say, this is something good. And it wasn't. It was a symbol of a painful memory. And all of us are loaded with painful memories. Those of you who weren't here yesterday, you probably missed this teaching, that 90% of the human mind is subconscious, and we are filled with pleasant memories, neutral memories, but we are also filled with painful memories. And where you have a painful memory, a painful experience, beneath that you have anger, and that anger accumulates in our subconscious mind and begins to come out in various ways: high blood pressure, cancer, diabetes, arthritis, in a myriad of different physical ways and also psychological ways, depression, sadness, alienation, loneliness, frustration. It can come out in many different ways, and it can come out spiritually. Inability to relate to God, lack of faith, lack of trust, lack of love. It can come out in many, many different ways. So through the forgiveness prayer, we try and drain off a lot of that anger. But we can also pray and heal the memory. And as the memory gets healed, the spirit is more able to move in the person's life. All right. Now, sometimes you will get a particular image that's pretty clear. First time I ever prayed for a word of knowledge, I didn't even know what word of knowledge was. I had been baptized in the Spirit. I was praying over a very holy woman. And as I'm praying over this holy woman, I get an image of a whiskey bottle. Whiskey bottle. So I, like a good Catholic, I pushed it out of my mind. This must be me. Huh? Now, I'm not anti-Catholic. Some of my best friends are Catholic. Huh? No. But sometimes we as Catholics are very afraid of religious experience. That's been my experience. Huh? Very much afraid, and we try to be super cautious, that we don't get carried away with our imagination. And that imagination is one of the ways the Spirit works in us. Anyway, I kept pushing it out of my mind. It kept coming back. So finally I said to the woman, does whiskey bottle mean anything to you? I think I get an image of a whiskey bottle. And this holy woman said, yes. My father's a heavy drinker. Whenever I go to visit my father, I try to spend as much time as I can with him, and I drink with him, and sometimes I get drunk, and I feel so guilty. There's your whiskey bottle. So that there are many, many signs and symbols. And the danger is, of course, that we want to interpret that for the person. This is a no-no. Thou shalt not interpret for the person. Shame on you if you interpret for the person. You present the word to them and let them associate with it. Let them associate with it. Because it could be a million different things. Any of you who are into dream analysis, you know that a dream image is a very, very personal thing. And you never interpret a dream image for a person. And the same with the word of knowledge. It is a very personal thing. All right, so our time is limited tonight. We want to have a little time to do this. So once again, to recap, all of you are sitting next to someone you don't know, or you will in a minute. Put your hand on the person to the right. We're going to pray in tongues. When I clap my hands, take your keep your eyes closed. Wait for a word or image. Take the first one that comes to you. And then when you get that, take your hand off the person. So when most of the hands are off the persons, I'll know we're ready to begin. Those on that side who have no one on their right, pray back to the left, or pray on the person in front of you. So you have your option. Those on the end of the line, pray on the person in front of you, or pray to the person to your left. Those on this side, you're just in a bad position. We'll come back and try and do this twice so that they pray on you. All right, let's close our eyes now, pray in tongues, asking the Lord for a symbol indicating a painful memory in this person that needs to be healed. Shandara dun da da dun da dun da dun da da dun da dun da di. Shandara dun da dun da dun da dun da da dun da dun da di di. People who are watching this video should do the same. They can get words of knowledge at home. Keep your eyes closed, hand on the person. First image or word that comes to your mind, take your hand down. Accept that is from the Lord as a word of knowledge. All right, now for the sake of time, we're going to kind of rush this. Those who did not get a word, leave your hand on the person. If you did not get a word, leave your hand on the person, because you can be listening to us talking up here and the word can pop into your mind, because as we've said, it's intuitive. You don't even have to think about it. It just will pop into your mind the same way an idea comes. Those of you who got a word for the person, share it with that person, and then turn to your left and ask the person what word they got for you. In other words, you give the word that you got, and you receive the one that the other person got for you. I'll give you about 15 to 20 seconds to do that. All right. All right, and then in a moment, what I'm going to ask you to do, get the word and give the word, huh? Get the word that they was received for you, and then give the word you got for somebody else. And then I'm going to ask a few of you to share in the limited time we have. You get the word and give the word. All right. Did any of you relate to the word? Did any of you know what the word meant in your life? Those of you who do, could you come forward and share that so that it will illustrate? Those who understood what the word meant, yes, I know, I remember the event. Come forward and share that, and that will illustrate what we're trying to say. Just come forward. All right. Our time is limited, so we're going to move right along. What did the word mean?
Automobile meant we moved when I was about 4 years old, and there was an accident, and it completely changed my life. I was moving from my grandmother, and the automobile was something else that was new in my life. And I just didn't realize that it was such a traumatic time in my life.
Yes, you see, and the younger the child, the more severe the trauma, and the Lord is saying to you, I want that healed. And he gave it to that lady, and she gives it to you, and that she's going to pray over you later. What we're going to do for the praying later, we're going to pray, all pray together for the one to our right. We'll pray in tongues, asking the Spirit to go into that painful memory. In this case, the moving from your grandmother's house and the automobile accident, to just ask the Spirit, as we focus tongues right in that, those two memories, to heal the memories. All right. What was the word you got?
Love.
Love. And what does that mean to you?
I had a mother who physically abused me, and a stepfather who sexually abused me. So there was no love in my family. There's nobody I could relate to who could give me any love. So I always felt unloved.
Okay. So that person's going to pray into your mother relationship and into your father relationship, okay? Mm-hmm. Beautiful. See how the Lord just leads and guides so magnificently. Rita, what word did you get?
The word I got was hair, and I had a lot of hair when I was born, up to 5 years old, and then I began to lose my hair, and I have 3 generations of loss of hair in the family, and it's always been a real painful thing for me.
Okay, they'll pray into that, huh? And ask the Lord to heal that. And you can continue praying after you leave here over these traumas, huh? Lack of love, automobile accident, and so forth and so on. Suzanne?
The word I got was baby's rattle. And I already knew what that meant because I was sexually abused when I was very, very little. And it was by lesbian babysitters. Mm-hmm. And still a it's still healing that needs to be done there.
Yes. See, the pain in your face means that as you think of that memory, there's still a lot of pain. So the Lord was saying, yes, that's painful memory that he wants healed. See, and a lot of times when people are sharing the word, you know it's right on target because they're crying, they're feeling the pain of the memory. See, that's buried beneath you, and it's in beneath your subconscious, and the Lord wants to heal that. Amen. Anyone else? Share briefly what the word was. Just come right up so we can move along. We have about 8 minutes, right? 8 minutes. Okay. And then what we're going to do is pray for healing. Those of you who didn't get a word, those of you who didn't get a word, just leave your hand on the person.
I prayed for, but tell me.
What word did you get? Let's focus on this now, please.
This is the one who get the, he said that the word is home.
Home?
Home.
What did that mean to you?
To me, my brother wrote me the other week, and he said that our home, nobody lives anymore because we 10 of us in the family have home of its own. Mm-hmm. Our children are, and the one living there is just a dog, but and the dog, the neighbor is the one feeding the dog.
That's upset so, you that no one's living in your family's home?
Yeah, because
home?
That home was built when I was small.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so she's going to pray over you, huh? And that's serious. Home, family home is a lot of meaning.
Mine was disappointment. And as I thought about it, it was disappointment when I started school because I had anticipated starting school. I was very anxious to go to school, and it was a very difficult and painful experience. And it was very disappointing.
You noticed
it colored my whole school life.
Good. Many of these words go back to childhood. See, that's where the greatest damage has been done. It's the foundational, and the Lord is saying, look, this is not to heal today, but heal 20, 30, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. See how the Lord leads right where we need healing? All right. So let's all reach out to the right, put our hand on the person's shoulder to your right, and ask the Lord to heal the memory that was symbolized by the word, if they related to it, but even if they couldn't relate to it, some of you, after you leave here tonight, will relate to the word and say, oh, now I know what it means, because it's so deep in your subconscious. It's so deep in your subconscious, huh, that you'll relate to it later. All right, let's pray in tongues over the person to your right, asking the Lord for healing. Lord, we just pray for healing of these memories that have been symbolized by the word of knowledge, and we ask for deep healing. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and for your goodness. Continue to heal all of us and set us free. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now see the value of this. When someone comes to you for prayer, the first thing you ask, Lord, what's the root cause? And you'll get a word, and then you'll be able to pray right into the root cause of cancer or diabetes or blindness, everything you pray for. You ask the Lord for diagnosis. Lord, what's the root cause we're looking for here? And you pray right into it. Connie, do you have a question?
Can you ask for a word of knowledge for yourself?
Oh, sure. Oh, yes. But it seems to work better when we pray for each other, because no one can really doctor himself or herself. Most doctors don't operate on themselves. They have someone else operate because, you know, it's difficult to, oftentimes, in your own life, generally speaking. Now, some people are very good. They're very good on words of knowledge for themselves. All right, now, everybody reach to the left. Let's repeat the process. Ask the Lord for a word of knowledge, and ask you to be kind of quiet now so we can do this. Finish up. Pray over the person on the left. Ask the Lord for a word of knowledge. Keep your eyes closed. Ask the Lord for a word. What is the word that he wants to give you for that person? Take your hand down when you get it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask you just to open us up so we can hear the word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We have about 3 minutes left, so why do those of you who got a word, just tell the person what word you got for them, and we'll ask those people who relate to the word to share it. Lord, continue to bless your people. Continue to manifest those areas that open us up to healing. How many of you were able to relate to the word? Put up your hand. Just come up here and share it with us in the few remaining minutes, because time is fleeing. Just come right up. What was the word?
I got the word razor's edge.
Razor's edge. What does that mean to you? Razor's edge. Razor's edge.
When I was a very young girl, I tried to commit suicide by slashing my wrists with a razor.
How old were you when you attempted suicide?
Maybe about 15, 16.
Good. The Lord's going to bring a lot of healing in that area. Lou, what was the word?
The word was dog, and when I was 3 years old, I was badly bitten by a dog here on my lip.
Okay, very traumatic. Bitten by an animal. Let's move right along here.
Darkness.
Darkness. What's Chris? What does the word darkness mean to you?
I was raised in a satanic cult, so.
You're used to the darkness.
Yeah.
Okay, praise God. We're going to pray on that. All right, so why don't we all reach out to the left? Reach out to the left, pray in tongues on the word you got for that person, whether they're able to relate to it or not. Everybody pray to the left. Shandaradanda halla dee dee dandaradanda dandari. Shandarahalla dee dee danda handaradanda dee dee dee. Shandaradanda danda danda halla dee 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 handari. Shandaradanda danda dee dee. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I would encourage you to continue on your own after the session tonight. There's no limitation on the words you can get for each other. So I ask you to continue. The more you get words and the more you pray for each other, the more healing. So there you have it. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of discernment or discernment of spirits, the revelation gifts. So all those 9 basic manifestation gifts flow from the baptism of the Spirit. They put you in a position to continue the ministry of Jesus. May you go forth and be Jesus to people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.